as I was trying to think of something that would help us, I decided 1 John 3. I've just been reading through some things in 1 John, and I thought, well, I'll hit these first three verses, and we'll talk about them and leave it at that, and I pray you gain something out of it. One of the things that means a lot to us is our children. You know, you watch new parents when a child is born into a family and watch the parent of that child and how the parents just beam and hold that baby and they want you to see and want you to share in that joy of that parent. And that baby grows and all of a sudden you turn around and that baby's graduated high school and you're proud. That's my child. Then you turn around and they get through college and they're ready for the real working world, or you hope they are, but they graduate and you, that's my child. And you're very proud of them and you know, there's this relationship there that you're very proud of. What about a child of God? I mean, think of who we are. And John points us to that here in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, where he says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God." And such we are. It's kind of interesting when you break and slow the verse down just a little bit and you look at it. He starts off with a word, see. Some versions say, behold. There are some versions that omit the word see or behold. If you've got a version like that, that's not a good word to be omitting right here. Because the tense of it, it's a very strong word, and why some versions left it out, actually there's only one I've found that's left it out, and why they do it, I don't understand it. Because they sure didn't get it off the original text. But when you look at this word see and behold, it carries this idea of taking a step back and taking thought. Take thought of who you are, that I need you to look for a moment with some intense earnestness. I need you to look for a great consideration. See, you know, sometimes we need to be a people that slow down in our lives. Sometimes we need to slow down and reflect on things. Instead of being so busy and going so fast, slow down a little bit. And when you slow down, take a reflection of who you belong to. And that's what John does right here in the middle of this book when he says, see how great a love. And you see that how great? I want you to take a look at how great. Some versions say, what manner. Some may say, what kind of love. It's an astonishing kind of love. In fact, when Jesus was walking on the water back in Matthew chapter 8, and as he comes across and his disciples think they see a boat or a ghost, and Jesus gets into the boat with them, and you know, he calms the seas. And in verse 27 of Matthew 8, they say, what kind of man is this that commands the elements? I'm paraphrasing a little. But he uses the term, what kind? That's the same word that is being used right here, how great. It's an astonishment. What kind of man is this? What kind of love has the Father bestowed upon us? Look in astonishment. Take thought. Be amazed at who you are and the relationship. He says, see how great, what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us. The Father has bestowed a love. It's a bestowed love. Now, when you think about the term bestowed, I'm just kind of breaking it down and making it go a little simple here at the beginning. Slow it down. When something is bestowed, it's not earned. When you bestow something on someone, they don't deserve it. And so John says, I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to look what kind of love the Father has undeservedly given you and me that we should be called children of God. That kind of love. And what did you do to deserve it? You and I did nothing to deserve a love from God to say, you're my child. You know, if you think about this, we was talking about a baby a while ago. When a baby is born into a family, what did that baby ever do to deserve your love? What feat did that baby perform? There is a love out of the birth process. There's this natural love that comes in there that the baby is born naturally into the family, that baby did nothing to deserve that love. You and I are the same way. We've done nothing to deserve that love. And you need to back off. He says you need to reflect. You need to look at it and see what kind of love the Father has given you undeservedly. Keep this mark for just a second. We'll come right back over. Come over to Romans chapter 5, if you would, please. Romans chapter 5. If you look at verse 6, verses we're familiar with, but I want you to think about it and what he's trying to get us to see. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. He says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, you want to see about the love being bestowed? While we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who are we? We're not the godly that belong to God. We weren't naturally born into the family of God. We were born naturally into our families, and then what did we do? We swerved off into sin, and we got ourselves separated from God. We're no longer part of His family, like a child is. And so we belong to another family, and the family we were belonged to was what? The family of the ungodly. Now, who do you think the father of the ungodly is? That's our family. And yet, guess what Jesus is doing? He's dying for someone in another family, the ungodly. And he goes on to illustrate it, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. That's man's world of the ungodly. Man has limitations of how far they will go with each other. But not God. Verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Jesus is dying our death. Belonging to another family. And as a result of the God demonstrating His love, you and I responded. And here's what God did, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Much more than what? than being ungodly, than being sinners, than being helpless. Now that the blood of Christ has justified us, he said, being now much more than that, he said, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Continue on, verse 10. For if while we were enemies, there, notice the word shows up again. Enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If we were enemies and he would reconcile us, now that we're reconciled, how much more does he mean? Well, it means that we're going to be saved by his life. Taking all of that, look over at chapter 8. Verse 14. He says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The love of God is bestowed. It's not earned. The love of God through the death of Jesus reconciled us to himself. The love of God was demonstrated that even when we were enemies, he was trying to reach us. And when he reached us, the blood of Jesus justified us. The blood of Jesus reconciled us. And now God gave you, as part of his family, his Spirit. Because he has adopted us. I know we've had some families here that have adopted children. When you have an adopted child, that child means every much to you as it was born naturally. That is a love you bestowed. That child wasn't yours before. But when you saw that child, you wanted that child, that adoption came, that child took on your name, and you gave that child your name, you gave that child your rights, you and I did not have the name of God, we belonged in another family. And God's love reached out. And now we've received of his Spirit. And his Spirit testifies with our spirit when we cry out, Abba, Father, God, our Father, Father, Father. His Spirit testifies that your child, that your child. And that's what God hears. Knowing that, come back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. Let me tell you tonight, if you're trying to be a child of God, you're not a child of God. I am a child of God because of the love bestowed. And he calls me his child. Just like your children, just like my children bear my name, yours bear your name. My children do not try to be my name. They are my name. And as a child of God, I'm not trying to be a child of God. I am a child of God. And the name is a bestowed name from God to you and to me. And sometimes you need to step back and you need to reflect on what all of that means to you. I'm a child of God. I came from an enemy. I came from the ungodly. I came to the ranks of being in a completely different family. And now I've been brought and been given the name of God on me. That's a bestowed love. And such we are. Well, look at the end of verse 1. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Did the world know us before? Absolutely. When you're dead, when you're ungodly, when you're an enemy, when you're helpless, you were real comfortable over there in that world. But He said, for this reason, because of the love bestowed and called children of God, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. You see, I belong to a different family than the family of the world. I no longer belong to the family of man. I belong to the family of God. I belong to the household of God. And it amazes me that people who have had a bestowed love upon them feel more comfortable with the world than they do the people of God. That is someone that's in trouble. Well, why does the world feel that way? Look back real quick in chapter 2. Look at verse 16. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world works off of these desires. Their desires for their flesh, their desires for their eyes. It's all externalized. The boastful pride of life, that's not coming from God. That's coming from the family of the world. And the world doesn't know the family of God. They only know the family they exist in. And so that's why he says down here in chapter 3 at the end of verse 1, for this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. You know, it's real interesting too when you understand this bestowed love, and I'm going to throw this on the side for you tonight. This will be free, okay? This, you parents, it's raising your children. I want my children. I want them to be uncomfortable around drinking. I want them to feel out of place. I want my children to be uncomfortable around profanity and laden profanity conversations. I want them to feel out of place. I want my children to feel out of place against anything that goes against God. I want them to feel real uncomfortable. Why? Because they wear my name. God wants us to not be a part of the world. God does not want us to be comfortable in the world. God says the world does not know His children because they're coming from two completely different avenues. And there needs to be a difference of comfort in those families. And so John, he encourages, look at the love that God has on you. He calls you His child. And such you are. You're not part of the world. And the world shouldn't know you, and you shouldn't be comfortable being a part of it. You should be comfortable being a child of God. Now, what does this mean? Look at verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Notice he comes back again. Now we are. Present status. Here's this bestowed love. Now we are children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Excuse me. I don't know what we're going to be. I don't know what a child of God's going to look like. We know our family resemblances, and we can see resemblances within our family members. And, you know, we know what our likings are, what our dislikings are. We all carry these family characteristics. But the one thing about it, because of who God is, God is spirit, God's not human. I wonder what God looks like. I don't know. And John says, we don't know what we'll be, but the one thing about it, this is what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. That's all you need to know. That's all I need to know. You know, sometimes I just sit and I reflect and I think of love. I see someone do acts of love. I see people sacrificing for others. But I wonder what love really looks like. You ever thought about that? I mean, if we know 1 John 4, 7, and 8, God is love. That's who He is. What does He look like? I don't know what we're going to be, but I know one thing. We're going to be exactly like He is. You ever wonder when Jesus walked among man? Wonder what He really looked like? I know He was a common Jew. I know He was ordinary. I know He looked like ordinary man. But you ever thought about Him in His glorified state? Wonder what Jesus is like? Well, you're the brother and the sister to Jesus. He's bestowed upon you, calling you a child of God. You're a child of His. And so whatever He is, that's what we're going to be. That's what we're going to be like. Well, I don't know what that means. I just tell you. John doesn't even know what that means. But he says, we know that when He appears, we'll be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. Now let me throw a flip side on this deal. I wonder what a child of the devil looks like. Because if you're a child of the devil, you're going to be just like he is. And you're going to see him as he is. You see, anyone that does not have bestowed upon them the name child of God, they're a child of the devil. And they're going to see him as he is. Oh. But you and I, we are children of God, he says. It has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. The result, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. That's incredible. Listen, brethren, if Jesus is your hope, if Jesus is everything because you've had this bestowed name upon you, and you're going to be like he is, the more that you know that you're going to see your father, and you're going to see your brother, and you're going to be just like he is, that ought to be helping you in your life become more and more and more pure. You ought to be getting better at being like he is in holiness. You know, the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 12, 14, you better pursue peace and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. The sanctification is the state of getting more pure, more holy. You and I have got to be going after that if you're going to see the Lord. Otherwise, there's another Father there, and you're going to see Him. But you and I, if we keep Jesus as our hope, we keep our hope fixed on Him, we're going to become pure and more pure. You're going to get stronger and better at being holy. The world's not going to impact us. And that's what we need to be. That's who we need to be. And so John just pins it down. Take a good look at the love that God's bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. And if you've got your hope fixed on seeing Him for whoever He is, you're going to get pure as your life marches to a close each day, getting more pure and more pure. That's what we need. And let's march to that together. Keeping our hope fixed on Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, keeping ourselves knowing that you bear the name of your Father because you're His family.